But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Bulldog's all freaked out because I ask him a Super Bowl trivia question. Sal should, I should have waited for Sal to come on.
Should've.
Sal loves a Super Bowl trivia question. He loves a trivia question.
I do.
Did you hear it by chance?
It's getting older, though, man. I'm getting old. There's a lot of Super Bowls. It's getting tougher these days.
It's already been nominated for a Marconi, the segment, from just even though it's already just today's show, it's already been put up for awards.
This is the one time I got something wrong, Sal. So they're going to make a big, big deal out of it.
I'm like an offensive lineman.
You don't hear my name. It's a good thing.
Do you know the answer? I will tell you guys. I've not been listening. Sorry. But
jerk.
So if you ask me, like I have no clue on what you're going to ask.
Well, I will ask you, but we got to shorten it because everybody's just heard this. There are 9 potential Super Bowl rematches this year.
Oh, geez.
Hang on. Maybe I'll get it wrong again.
Yeah, maybe you've forgotten already. You took a nap during the break, and you started counting them off.
I will go real quickly to the NFL standings, and I would say so Buffalo, Washington, obviously I'll start right there. That would be one. I would say one would be the Steelers. Let's see. Steelers Rams for sure. Steelers Vikings, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers Packers would be another one. Mm-hmm. Okay, nothing with Detroit. Let's see. Denver Broncos, Washington for sure.
5.
Denver Minnesota. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. No. Can't do that because neither one of them won a Super Bowl. Okay, you got 5 there. All right, Kansas City against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Kansas City, Green Bay, obviously, mm-hmm. early first Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
first, right there. What, 6-7 right there,
7.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Baltimore got to be in here, right? Baltimore.
No.
Baltimore, who would they? No. Who do they? Oh, Baltimore.
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Tampa. That was all in the same area, but they didn't play.
2 more Chiefs.
Okay. Chiefs Eagles a couple years ago.
Yep.
And what did I say? Oh, Chiefs Bucks.
That's it.
I wanted you to say Chiefs Rams so damn bad there. I can't even believe how badly I wanted you to make the same stupid mistake I did. I'm sorry, Sal.
Man,
we're friends. I love you like a brother, but I wanted you to step it in.
In your defense, there was that Chiefs Rams game.
That was incredible.
In Mexico. 54-51 or something. That was not a Super Bowl, but it was kind of famous. Okay, is it too early to be talking about the Super Bowl here, Sal? It's a month from tomorrow, I think. I started with this today, how I know I'd want to, I'd sort of be sensitive as a listener to hearing about potential games, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Super Bowl, all of that with Denver here. And I'm also sensitive to that as a host, right? Because I don't want to sound like I'm ignoring this game or anything like that. But honestly, it's kind of all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, the
bigger picture, the run.
Okay, so yeah, I've thought about this a lot, which is like, I asked Matt Bove the same question on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I think I will say I did listen to the first like 10, 15 minutes of you guys. And I think you touched on this because I caught Bulldog saying something in the same regard, which is you got to kind of worry about your immediate threat, something like that, which is mm-hmm. true. And I agree, which is if you want the best chance to get Kansas City out, I think you have to root for the
Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens to win.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Chargers could possibly knock them off. Okay, I get that. However, I think more immediate though, you don't want to play Baltimore, even though the Steelers would probably go to Kansas City and just get demolished.
Yep.
But at least if it gets you through Baltimore and you don't have to play them, it is survive in advance, right? That's what it's all about. And to be honest with you, one thing that I thought about is, do I give the Bills a better chance to win at Kansas City than home against Baltimore? I might. I think that's close, actually.
It is close. It's a really interesting debate that we would have enjoyed having every single day for the last 4 months. But today, I don't know. I don't. Right. I like just. It yeah. just presumes a Denver win here or a Bills win over Denver. And yeah. I respect this team, the Broncos. I know it's a rookie quarterback. I know we all said Cincinnati was more dangerous. You even thought Bulldog Miami was. Mm-hmm. But, man, I like the numbers on Denver a lot with their defense and how efficient and athletic Knicks is. But it could just be now I'm trying too hard. I don't know. Like, I'd want to be some modicum of this no matter who the Bills played. But I like Denver.
Yeah, listen, every team that gets to this point, you know, is here for a reason. You could have a lesser team, of course, and while they won a bad division or something like that, but generally the wild card teams are going to be teams that got in because they won enough games and beat the right teams and, you know, tiebreaker scenarios and things like that. And in this case, you have two 10-7 teams that got into the wild card between Pittsburgh and Denver. That's actually pretty good, you know, to have that. You look in the NFC, two 10-7 teams won their division, but the wild card was a 12-win team and an 11-win team.
And 14.
I respect Denver. I respect Denver for what they've done this year, no doubt about it. And I think from where they were to where they came at the end of the year, they've made a lot of strides, especially with their rookie quarterback. I think they do a lot of things that could give the Bills problems. I've heard people say this is the toughest, you know, wild card matchup that the Bills have had over the last several years. I don't know if I agree with that because I think they're all kind of similar. I mean, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, yep. you know, with what they did with a rookie quarterback, even though they came here and the Bills crushed them, they beat the Bills that year just a few weeks before that.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I know it was in the wind and all that. And then the Miami Dolphins, even without Tua, come to Buffalo and they, you know, they brought some talent here. And the Bills, of course, it was all, after all the DeMar Hamlin situation and all of that. But I know it was Skylar Thompson, but Miami was not a bad football team that came to Buffalo. And they took the Bills to the brink also that year, if you remember, right at the end of the season in the snow. And then last year, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know they didn't have Watt, but it's still Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin, and they're going to muck it up and play. And I just think that this team is very similar to a lot of those teams.
Yeah, I ranked them, and I don't remember the order. I know Pittsburgh, I think I felt was the easiest. I think I had New mm-hmm. England. Mike mentioned that was only like a 4-point spread. Like, I know in hindsight, you know, the Bills absolutely blasted them out of the gym in that game. But I think that meeting, that matchup, after the Patriots, like you just referenced, had beaten them, I think that's the only one I would put ahead of this Denver team, I think, as far as like tough game goes. Maybe Indianapolis that first year, but I think really that New England team, I was worried about them coming in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think because it's the mystique. And it's Belichick. And look, he did a really good job of, and they did a good job with Mac Jones his rookie year in a lot of similar ways that, you know, Sean Payton has done here with Bo Nix. And, you know, there were that throw that he made that is, you know, iconic, the interception, Micah Hyde, that was a great throw. I mean, Micah just made an amazing play. But if he doesn't make the play, that's an incredible throw. And if you remember early that game, that drive, he uses his legs, he gets a first down, they had a nice play. They had a play that kind of was an overthrow, could have been a longer play. The point I'm making is, like, you know, you don't get here by luck, you don't get here by accident. And I think that this Denver Broncos team is good. I don't think that they're as good as the Buffalo Bills. Look, I think at the end of the day, after thinking a lot about this today and talking through it on the podcast, I think the path to an upset for the Broncos would have to include them playing one of their top games. Like, they have to have a really good day. They have to play some of their best football. I don't think the Bills have to play their best football to win the game. Now, if they don't play their best football, it's certainly going to come into question. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the difference between the two. I think the Broncos kind of have to play their best game and get a little couple breaks along the way to be able to pull this upset.
Denver, in games decided by 7 points or fewer, 1-6. What does that do for you? We've gone round and round.
So keep it close.
The
Bills should want to keep it close.
There's been some stuff with late game stuff with them, I think, as well, and Sean Payton and decisions. No doubt about that. I heard a stat today. Dave Naylor, from our buddy up in Toronto, he covers the Bills up in Toronto and in Canada. He actually had it today. He said to me, what he had was Broncos 6-1 against non-playoff teams, 1-8 against playoff teams, and the one was last week when the Chiefs were resting everybody.
Right. How do you handle the McDermott defenses? Because it's all encompassing. There's different personnel, even different coordinators and different play callers, if you want. His track record against rookie quarterbacks. I think, you know, there's a good chunk, you know, sizable number of games. One problem I have with just sort of throwing a blanket over it and just, you know, feeling it's all, everyone is created equal is that, you know, you could play guys in week one, week three. Now we're talking about the playoffs. You know, like Bo Nix is not, it's very different than playing Bo Nix week two, you know, is all I'm saying. Here, you know, week 19 ostensibly here is what we've got. And so he's a rookie, but, you know, he's gone through a whole season here.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm just looking back real quick, and I'll shoot Dave a text to get the exact number, but they did beat the Buccaneers, who were a playoff team. Those were their only two wins, Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Bills,
anyway, that was the stat on
the
that.
Bills also only had two wins against playoff teams.
They happen to be against the two number one seeds, though, right? Is that it, really? The Bills only had two?
I have them at 2-3. They lost to Baltimore, okay. Houston, and the Rams.
Yeah. Okay, good call right there. Listen, yeah, I think, you know, the question I think you said was Bo Nix, rookie quarterback.
Rookie quarterback, right? Thing, yeah.
And Sean McDermott. And,
yeah.
Like, I think there was a stat, I don't know the exact stat off top of my head right here, guys, but there was a stat about, you know, the win-loss of Sean McDermott and, you know, facing a rookie quarterback, and it's very tilted in McDermott's favor. And, you know, I mean, normally he has a high winning percentage anyway. He's been good against non-rookie quarterbacks, but against rookie quarterbacks, it's been very, very challenging for Sean McDermott. It's also the point of, it is a rookie quarterback in the NFL playoffs. It's very tough to win. Do you guys know the last time a rookie quarterback started an NFL playoff game and won?
On the road, Russell Wilson.
2012, and he was playing another rookie, which was RG3.
Griffin, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, very good. So it's been a long time, right? I mean, it's been, you know, 12 years since that happened, 13 years, whatever, playoffs. 12 years, I think, in a season. So it is tough. It's going to be a very, very tough environment here. I think about when Bill Belichick did a segment maybe it was Inside the NFL. He's on so many darn platforms, you know, these days, right? I think it might have been an Inside the NFL. And he did that whole Sean McDermott's going to spin the wheel on defense.
Yep.
I loved it, right? It really just showed. And I think this is a game where McDermott will spin the wheel, which is, and Bobby Babich, of course, he was calling the plays. I think they're going to spin the wheel on Bo Nix and just say, you just don't know. He is not going to know what he's getting from a down-to-down basis. And they're going to show him something and then switch to something else after the snap. And I just think that feels like one of those games where this is what they're going to do.
Sal Capaccio on the Westher hotline. What's new with injuries? It doesn't seem like much.
Well, not much as far as volume, but I think still very, very concerning. Today, Brandon Codrington did not practice. The outstanding return man for the Bills. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Sean McDermott wasn't kind of committed either way on what he thought about this weekend. He was very close to the vest today on anything he revealed, which is understandable during a playoff week. But here we are on a Wednesday. It was a walkthrough. He did not practice. So we'll see where that goes on Thursday. Otherwise, Jamarcus Ingram was excused from practice today for a personal matter. Otherwise, everybody else is healthy. So I would say the Bills are very healthy going into this game. But I do think that that's a notable and important absence if Brandon Codrington can't play.
Gotta stuff this in because otherwise more and more people will point out to us that Denver and Green Bay is also deserves to be on the rematch list.
Oh okay, yes, that's right. You. Yes.
So I thought it was 9, but I guess maybe it's 10.
That was the second of Elway's back-to-back wins, right? He beat Atlanta. And
no, it was first.
It was first? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that was Denver finally winning.
Okay.
When they beat Green Bay.
Sure.
It was a huge underdog.
Helicoptered at the goal line. Yeah, okay.
Right. Yep.
Okay, where were we?
Injuries.
Oh, right. Oh, at punt returner. I know you mentioned on Monday, you know, Micah Hyde, he's there. If you need someone just to catch the ball. Short of that, like, where do you suppose we'll end up here? Because I noticed, I think, when we talked about this on Monday, there's not even a second person listed on the depth chart at punt return. So I wonder what they'll do.
Yes. By the way, this is so amazing. It's like real time. So our buddy Dave is listening. Dave Naylor covers the team. He texted me to give me the stat. I want to put this in there because thank you, Dave, for correcting me and letting me know. The Denver Broncos are 1-6 against playoff teams, not including that last game against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's where Tampa comes in. They're 8-1 against non-playoff teams. So there you go. Thank you very much, Dave Naylor. Good job. All right. So, yeah, I still think it's possible. I don't think it's likely that we see Micah Hyde in that role. He still hasn't played all year, right? Are you going to elevate Micah Hyde and say, just go catch punts? You could. I mean, he could just be working on that all week. I think the more likely scenario for me is that Khalil Shakir would return punts. Now, it's not ideal to have Khalil Shakir back there returning punts as your primary receiver. But look, I mean, the Broncos do it with Marvin Mims. He catches balls for them and does a lot of stuff, and he's a great punt returner. He is good at it, Khalil Shakir. He's done it before. And I think there's just a trust factor here that has to go into this. Not that you wouldn't trust Micah Hyde, but he hasn't played. And, you know, you'd be putting him out there in a situation where, hey, by the way, just go out there and do it in the playoff game. I think you'd probably, you know, Khalil Shakir's been, I'm sure, working it in practice in some capacity throughout the year as a backup in whatever, you know, way that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, KJ Hamler is still an option. He's been on the team all year. We know he has punt return experience. It's against his former team. So I think that can't be ruled out to me. And we're not going to get anything from McDermott today. He was kind of asked, you know, how big is that? What do you do? And he didn't give us an answer, and he's not going to tell us who's going to play there unless, you know, until the moment comes. If he rules him out on Friday with me on the radio, I'll ask him. But until then, we're not going to know what the plan would be, and because I wouldn't expect anything to be revealed. But to me, that's how it would go. It would be Shakir, then Hamler, and then maybe Hyde, I guess, because I couldn't think. Maybe Ty Johnson could be back there. Kick returns, we know it would be just Ty Johnson and Ray Davis make the most sense.
Amari Cooper's back. All good? Wheels up?
He's back. He was back at practice today, full participant. Was excused last week from the game for a personal family matter, but he was back today.
I just looked at some prop bets this morning, and quick instinct took Keon Coleman over 2.5 catches. No science behind it, just a vibe. Mm. What do you think of Coleman in this game? So I can cash out if you hate it.
No, I mean, I don't think that's too high of a number, obviously. 2.5, I mean, I could see that, especially if the Broncos decide they want to put Pat Surtain on Amari Cooper on third downs. Maybe all the time. I don't know what the Broncos' plan is for Pat Surtain because the Bills don't have that true number one guy that they would say go match up and travel with him. But I do think in certain situations they could do that. And again, I think third down comes in. Maybe it's Keon Coleman, though. And if that happens, then, you know, you might be a little more challenged in that bet, Mike, to be quite honest with you. But this is a game where, you know, truly I think that the Bills have to adhere to their mantra of everybody eats, because if you're going to have wherever Patrick Surtain is, I think that you note it, you note that, and you figure out where he's not, and you throw the ball there. It's also a game that the Bills can, by all metrics, probably take advantage of their second level, the linebackers in coverage. And I think the Bills will really try to control the middle of the field and really try to control the second level. That could be very well be running backs, because the Broncos statistically just have not been great at covering running backs out of the backfield this year. It could also be tight ends. So that's not great for your bet, Mike, but I just think that they're going to have to spread the ball around here.
Very good. We got through, even though we had some back and forth with the trivia. I'd never start with trivia, Bulldog. I know better.
I asked you. I like it.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it. I know you do. Very good. Thank you, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I'm deep in a Pro Football Network stat analysis here of the matchup. Bills and Broncos.
Bills and Broncos?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you tell us about
not
it?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. No, not a lot. I'm still processing.
Helpful.
Here's one that says, Bo Nix is a very different quarterback when trailing.
They all are.
They all are, kind of, right? I mean, get the guy a lead, maybe look out. So I know every one of these games, like every hockey game, is score the first goal, even though your odds of winning a hockey game are the same if you score the second goal and not the first goal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an element to that here with Broncos Bills. Scare them off.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the game that I'm sort of seeing in my head is not, you know, the Bills like steamrolling this team or anything, but it's 14-3 pretty quick and just sort of, you know, maybe it gets a little tighter than you'd like in the third quarter at some point, but you're just sort of like arm's length all day, you know, just kind of, okay, I'm better than you. I got it. And I feel like that's so, I don't know, what's that to end up saying? I mean, you know, 28-19. Like is my game? I think that's
exactly that's the spread and the total
I'm looking at. All right, see, look at me.
9-47, 28-19. By EPA per dropback, Knicks when the Broncos are ahead, 13th in the league. When trailing, 29th. Is that everybody? You know, maybe to varying degrees, it mostly is. 803-0550 for your calls. Bills Broncos, the playoff picture. How do you see it, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Denver is very effective at getting after the passer, but that is the strength of the Buffalo Bills. That's the strength of Josh Allen. He hasn't been sacked much this year, and when you put pressure on him, he's either going to get the ball out of his hands or find ways to avoid it and make plays downfield. The X factor is Josh Allen and his legs, and you saw it all year long. When the games mattered, what happened? He ended up taking off. When they didn't matter, he'd spread it around, he'd throw it, he'd check it down. But when the games mattered, I'm thinking about that play against Kansas City at the end of the game. I'm thinking about some of the runs that he had in the Detroit game. He uses his legs.
And we know it. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Allen and running has been sort of a evergreen topic here for a few years. Does he do enough? Does he do too much? Risk of injury? Pick your spots. Last year we had Brandon Bee made a comment about, you know, I don't know about in week two, or the, it might even been 2 years ago now. I don't know.
I think it was 2 years ago, October. I don't think he said a specific opponent because that would be very unlike someone involved at a high level with one of these teams. But in my head, I heard week two against the Jets. I don't know why.
Week two. I remember week two. In three of their last, I guess it's six games or seven even, including the game against the Patriots where he left after one play, Allen has double-digit rushes in three. Chiefs, Rams, Lions. High scoring, big spot, desperation. He has six touchdowns in those three games as well, rushing. Plus a couple other touchdowns in that stretch. San Francisco and this last Jet game.
Depending on how long these games are close for, you know, so how much urgency is there. I feel like if the Bills go on a run here, if they play four games, which would get, the, you know, that means they're in the Super Bowl, I think he's at like 50 carries between now and the end. Like, I think he's over 10 every game.
You know, in his playoff career also, it's 10 games, and he has six or more rushes in nine of the 10. So, I mean, you're a little bit above his career average in the playoffs, but in the playoffs, he's run a lot. 20 carries for 146 yards and three touchdowns in the two games last year combined, Pittsburgh and Kansas City. The only playoff game where he has fewer than six rushes is the Miami game, Skylar Thompson, where he had four for 20. That game came up in our chat with Sal, and I went and looked at it. It's wild. I don't remember it super well, but the Bills had 16 possessions in that game against the Dolphins. Like, normal is 10, 11.
Yeah.
But turnovers and whatever, like, there were, it just happened in that, not an overtime game.
Right.
But the Bills had 16 possessions to, I guess, the Dolphins 15. And that's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. Back to Allen running. You're right. It is a subject, and it will continue to be a subject. I don't know how much. I feel like we haven't talked about it as much this year because they were kind of on autopilot, you know, for, I don't know, 6 weeks here, kind of, you know, like we have the division clinched, everything's kind of in the window, and they were still winning games, even though I don't know that they were digging that deep into the playbook. At some point, Allen made mention of that, I think, after one of these games down the stretch about just, you know, not you know, showing everything you've got in the playbook. But you get to now, and like that's all over. It need it even be said. Like, if you need to run him 15 times to win, then run him 15 times. I have no qualms. Like, this is the time. I mean, I don't want him to burn it all out in one game here and get dinged or something. So that's why it matters how competitive the game is, how you're feeling as it's unfolding, and do you need to keep running him. But, man, I won't be able to get enough of him running from here to the wire, because it's all that matters.
It's their best play. Has been for years. John is next. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I've just got a couple of thoughts here. I might have missed it earlier. You talked a little bit about Hyde. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, him possibly playing. I think that the Bills wouldn't have brought him in. Yes, he came in. I believe it was, to be like a kind of a player that, has some good history there and able to probably, coach some of the younger players. But I think Hyde is a professional. He's ready. If they do bring him in, I think he'll be ready. I don't think McDermott would truly have him, just come out there and throw him in the game. So your thoughts on that, and how do you feel about, like Bo Nix and some of the pressure that he might have to undergo with the Buffalo Bills on Sunday? They said he handles pressure pretty well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll take the Hyde part first here, and I think it would take an injury that's going to cause Hamlin, Rapp, or Bishop to miss a game. So you'd have to get to a point where you're talking about elevating Kareem Jackson from the practice squad for a playoff game. I think if you get there, then I think you might consider Hyde. But it is, Sal makes the point, and I think it's a good one, even to talk about just catching punts. He has not been doing any of that. So to just put him in seems almost insane to me. Really, I'm not calling you insane, John, specifically for bringing it up, but I can't foresee a scenario where they're going to look at their team healthy and go, all right, well, we brought him here, let's do it. I think it's always been like a break glass in case of emergency thing, and that emergency would be injuries to one of those three guys, I think is what it would take. Because you've still got Cam Lewis if you need him, that can fill in for one, but once you dip to Kareem Jackson, and I don't even know that would do it. They might just play Jackson instead of Hyde and have had him here all this time just for emotional support, expertise, leadership, that kind of stuff. I'd be real surprised if he played without a big injury or even maybe two to that position group from here to the end. That's how I look at it.
I mean, I just defer to McDermott on this. There might be people who think it's a mistake if he doesn't play, but how do we know? We don't know what he looks like, just what it really is. So I would defer, not to always do this, but pretty good benefit of the doubt is earned here. And, of course, it's going to be what he thinks is in their best interest. Love to get him on the field. It would be a great story.
Yeah.
But you can't do it if you just don't really think it's worth doing.
And on Nix and pressure, nobody deals with, guys to varying degrees can deal with pressure better than others. Some have great numbers, better numbers than others against pressure. The thing that I think you want to watch for in this game is to try not to get too annoyed when the Bills aren't getting home, because it's Sean Payton. Like, this thing, the ball is coming out fast. So the way they deal with pressure is to get the ball out of there. So you've got to be ready to, hop on some of that stuff, right? Which is not necessarily the Bills' strong suit. Like, they like to be more passive and play back and keep everything in front of them. But if a guy is just going to be throwing it, at the line of scrimmage or just quick, you got to be able to sit on some of that and trust that you can jump some of it and take the ball away that way. Because I don't think you're going to get to him with great regularity. The Bills have not been great piling up sacks this year, and they even resorted to doing more blitzing down the stretch than we've seen them do traditionally through Sean McDermott's tenure here. When I think about Nix and pressure, it's simply, can I get him on the back end? Because I think you're going to have a hard time getting to him. Their whole passing game mostly is predicated on that ball coming out quick.
Denver defense first in sacks?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, they've got... they got
you nailed that.
13.5 for Benito, 10.5 for this Cooper. These are their two edge guys. 8.5 for Zach Allen. There's another pretty decent 7 in there for John Franklin Myers, another defensive end. So, yeah, they don't have one guy that's like piling up, you know. Well, 13.5 is a solid number.
Yes.
They don't have a spectacular, you know, like TJ Watt type guy. But they got a lot of guys that have produced.
You know it. You know who else produced? Elvis.
Sure. That's a hell of a segue.
Elvis turns 90 today.
Well, he's passed away.
Which you don't think he's alive?
Quite some time.
You don't think he's alive?
There might have been a time in my adult life when I thought maybe.
Was that when he was alive?
No. I was not an adult when he
77?
Yeah, I'm 12.
Okay. It seems like you would have been like older for that.
Yeah.
77. Anything that I can remember from my first days, you feel like you might have been like in college.
One of the first 45s I ever got was an Elvis Presley 45. Not like a new song that was released. Like it was a current song. Like it wasn't like some golden oldie or something. It was Raised on Rock. I don't know what album it's off of.
I do not.
But I still have
Rumors.
I still have the 45 somewhere.
It's on Rumors, yeah. I believe. Album of the year, wasn't it? Hotel California.
Yeah.
Raised on Rock.
That's Raised
on. Is that like his last hit?
I don't know if it was even a hit, Mike.
His last anything?
I had a 45 and a big picture of him in like the big jumpsuit on the cover, looking not prime. Frankly,
well, it happens to us. It can't happen.
It's a tough photo op.
You are an Elvis fan.
I was an Elvis fan. I guess I still am kind of an Elvis fan, but I'm long dormant.
No interest in Graceland, or
I have a cutout. I have Graceland on display in my attic in the vinyl room.
So you've been?
I've been there. Yeah, I did not get this piece that this is actually, it was a CD booklet of an Elvis Christmas album. Mm-hmm. And when you open the booklet up, a little Graceland pops up. So I have that on a speaker. In fact, I had some company over the holidays that were over, and these people have mostly been in the attic dozens of times now. Somebody actually asked. I guess maybe they did never noticed it. They never knew. I mean, it's right there in plain view. You can't really miss it. Like, what is this on the speaker? I'm like, that's Graceland. And they looked a little closer. Like, oh yeah, okay, I got it.
I love a Graceland that pops up.
And I did. And I did visit it's like a little kid's pop up book. It says that. But I was at Graceland, you know. I don't have any pictures on my phone because, again, I was probably 15 years old or so. But
soon after his reported death.
That's right. That's right.
Here's Patrick next. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Happy New Year. Happy
there New Year. It is.
Oh, brat.
Hang up on this
it's
guy.
Great. No, I love it. Happy New Year to you.
No.
January 8th.
Right. We're at odds here.
Something that's been coming up. I don't know if this is a fair criticism or not, but I feel like in the Allen era Bills, something that comes up a lot is this team's propensity to get out to an early lead and then give up the lead. I did a little bit of research with my friends, and it looks like between the Texans playoff game from the 2019-2020 season through and including last year, including the playoffs, we lost a total of 23 games, and in 8 of those losses we were up by at least 2 scores.
Ooh.
Which I feel like is a, you know, you can fact check me on that. I'm pretty confident it's correct, but I feel like that's a big enough sample size that it's interesting to me, at least. So I guess my question is, do you guys feel like this current team, because they haven't really done that too much this year, they've really just kind of killed a lot of teams. I guess they had the sort of close one with the Lions, but do you feel like, you know, maybe this team, because they have a better running game, is less vulnerable to that? Or, you know, is it,
Ooh,
do you feel like it has something to do with like the soft, you know, zone coverages? Just what, yeah, I'm curious what your sense of that is.
I would want to dig into this. It's a really interesting number. I mean, even the Lions game, they're up 35-14 with 9 minutes left or something. So that's different too. But anecdotally, you know, what is it going to be? You're going to want to confirm your biases here. And for me, this is going to be, they got up and then they eased off. I'm thinking about more of them on offense. And mm-hmm. I won't go as far as to say it's, I'm not sure I'm right. I won't go as far as to say it scares me for them in the playoffs, but their running game has been so much a part of the story that I a little bit fear that they'll just get married to it. And if they're up 10 to nothing, that might be what you get. And I don't know if Denver is the team that's capable of burning you when you do that, but who knows? It could be anybody. You always want to play from ahead. But still, 8 out of their 23 losses, they're up by 2 scores. Playoff-wise, that AFC Championship, they were up 9-0. That would count. Houston game would count.
2 scores, yeah.
That Miami game that they won against Skylar Thompson, they were up 17-0. And the game ended 34-31. Interesting. I'm not sure I've ever realized. Or if that's necessarily a high percentage. It feels like it should be.
I know, but I wonder like how if it's atypical, really.
I'm going to do some research on that one myself. Very good, Patrick. He said eight out of the 23 losses since that Houston game?
Yes. Have been two score leads in 8 of those games.
They wouldn't have had a 2 score lead in the Chief playoff games other than that first one, right?
Right.
13 seconds they weren't up.
No.
I guess maybe you could be up 10 and it doesn't feel like it's
right.
They weren't, though.
Like 10 is 2 scores, but it feels way different than 14-0 to me.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it as a fan watching. Like, their team gets the ball, you're up 10-0. Like, 14-0, it's you're almost at, you better not screw this up. 10-0, I'm not at, you better not screw this up yet.
They're not a team that's come back as often. You know, like, we were looking at Bo Nix's stats, and he had some number of fourth-quarter comebacks this year. Allen had maybe none.
Without diving into it, like games that I think of where they come back, they still end up losing.
The games of the year.
Like the Ram game is such a game where they're down 31-14 maybe in that game. They came back and made it a game, but they didn't get it. The Eagle game, they were down. They came back, didn't get it.
Houston this year,
sure. Yep.
Thanks again, Patrick. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. One game, I'm going with the last caller's thoughts and counting up these losses. I'm at 7. He said there were 8. I'm not done yet, though. One game you don't want to look directly at, box score and the stats, is the Denver game last year.
Yeah, let's not do that.
You don't want to look directly at that. That's messy. The Bills had the ball for 22 minutes in that game. I think of it as a fluke loss, but they're down 9-8 in the second quarter. Love 9-8. Respect that. 15-8 at halftime. The Broncos kicked 2 field goals in the last minute of the first half. What happened there?
I don't remember. I told you I don't want to talk about this game.
Allen was intercepted on a pass for Deonte Hardy. So 15-8. I don't know. That's kind of an ugly one.
That is an ugly one. Yeah. I don't anticipate the Bills having as much trouble scoring points on Sunday as they had that day.
Well, what happened that day? I mean, that was Ken Dorsey's last game.
Right.
I don't remember exactly what they couldn't do. They had turnovers. 22 minutes, though.
Right.
Denver, I guess I didn't say it earlier. Was this when Sal was on? It was. Denver being 1-6 in one-score games. And you had a line about just, you know, keep it close, which is really funny.
Right.
The Bills should want to keep it close. No, I mean, we've been round and round on one-score game stats and their meaning. And what does this say about Denver? Sal mentioned late-game decisions. What it says to me about Denver is they're due for some regression in a close game. Doesn't have to be this week, and this game might not be close.
Right.
But I like a team that's 1-6 in close games. It's like I liked, not everybody did, the Bills team the season where they lost all the close games. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Not necessarily, but, you know, usually for me, I would say it's a good thing. You're due to get some of those. And the Bills did. Whenever we had that, they turned it right around, you know, the next season, I guess I would say. This year, 5-3.
In one score games, mm-hmm. Bills?
That's what I have.
Is that good?
I don't know. Is it a good thing?
It's better than 1-6. No, I know
it's
that.
It's worse. It's worse. Bad is good. When it comes to one score games, bad is good.
I get so confused.
It's reverse AFC power ranking style here.
I got stumped. You got stumped in this trivia question earlier a little bit. I got stumped by Matt Collar today on his show.
What did he do to you?
This is the kind of thing where I like to pride myself in being able to know it. He said, Matt likes to watch old games. He knows I do, but his old games are like in 2003.
Okay, that is old for him.
And he said, he pointed out this Ravens-Titans playoff game. And he said, Mike, you know I like you. You will never get who the Ravens starting quarterback was. And give me a playoff game. I want to think that I'll know who the starting quarterbacks are.
What year are we talking about
again? 2003.
So this is a few years after they've won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
With Trent Dilfer. That's definitely not him.
It's not. That's right. He's talking to me and he's like, you'll never get it. And I'm like so upset because I feel like I should.
No, I don't think it fits. Kyle Bowler just popped into my head. There's no way it's Kyle Bowler, right?
Like, there is no way it's not Kyle Bowler.
He was still there hanging around and just like, all right, we need you. Go get in there, kid.
This player did start 19 games in the NFL, including 14 for Baltimore, over two different seasons with a break in the middle. So it's gettable. It's just like we talked about with the Super Bowl history. It's harder for me once we get past the 90s.
Yeah.
Like it's just all New England games. The name is Anthony Wright.
Okay, I remember him. I think he started around 19 games in the NFL.
Yes,
if I remember correctly.
5 for Dallas, 14 for Baltimore, including a playoff loss to the Titans in 2003 at home. There, now you know that. But you know, like the John Skelton one, the Wolford one, is that his name, the Rams? Wolford or Wolford when they played in Seattle?
Yeah. Two Fs. Like, yeah, right.
Two Fs?
Yeah, Wolford. Well, I don't know how it's said exactly.
I wasn't sure how many to give.
It's two Fs.
About that. 803-0550, back after sports here on WGR.